Let's finish, Harry, if you will, on the future for the Holy Land. It looks bleak, let's be honest about it. We're always hoping and praying for peace. The Pope, as you say, wasn't going to click his fingers and we'd have peace. But with your expert analysis, what is it going to take to even make inroads, to even find the route to compromise?
The $60,000 or $60 million question, James, I don't know which one. Probably the $60 million question is more like it. What is going to do it for peace? Good question. When Pope John Paul II came, there was so much goodwill, so much buzz and excitement. But at the end of the day, let's be realistic about it. He didn't succeed in bringing the parties together any more than anybody else has managed to bring the two parties together. Intrinsically, this is a political conflict over land. Two peoples are fighting over the same small plot of land. And what needs to be done is for both people to draw together to stop any maximalist demands, expectations, and try to find a way of coexisting and living together. I constantly remember one of my counselors, one of my mentors in Jerusalem during the years of my political as well as ecumenical church experiences over the years was the Latin Rite Catholic Patriarch of Jerusalem, Michel Sabah. Patriarch Sabah always used to say to me and to others, and I've mentioned this before in one of our conversations, the two peoples and three faiths of Jerusalem need to live together in security, in peace, but also with justice. Now, the prophets of the Old Testament talk constantly about justice. We in our Christian traditions believe in justice. Therefore, what it takes is to have the security and to have the justice coming together in order to produce peace. Now, for us to do that, we should start thinking a little bit outside the box, divest ourselves of our own interpretations, our own stereotypes, our own long-held political, religious, and social beliefs, and try and stretch the hand out for the other in order to be able to reach a compromise that would make it possible for Palestine and Israel, therefore Palestinians and Israelis, be they Jews, Christians or Muslims, living together. That is going to take a lot of goodwill, that is going to take a lot of good faith, and unfortunately at the moment both are lacking. No matter how we gloss over this, James, there is a political conflict. There is an occupation under international law, one that is recognized by everyone. And until we address the core issues, we are not going to be able to say we have succeeded in suing for peace or making peace.
If we accept, Harry, and I do, your three prerequisites of security, of peace, and of justice, call me naive. My fear is that saying that is a truth that we can't get away from isn't the problem, that you have three versions of justice. One person's justice, another's oppression and enslavement.
One person's meat is another person's poison. That's precisely it. But this is where politics steps in. This is where we have to find a way. And there, we have done it in Northern Ireland to some extent. We've done it in South Africa to some extent. Europe was so deeply divided, James. You had a Europe that was splintered, that was broken. You had a South Africa that had the worst kind of apartheid system in it. You had a Northern Ireland where Protestants and Catholics wouldn't even speak to each other, let acknowledge each other's existence. And I can go on with some other examples across the world. With some goodwill, with some good faith, however you define goodwill or good faith, these people have managed to make inroads. We in Europe haven't got a perfect system, nor have the Irish, nor have the South Africans, nor have many other people across the world. But they've tried, they've labored, they've toiled in order to make inroads, in order to move forward towards some sort of reconciliation that would be good for everyone and not only for oneself. And I think that in some sense, many of the academic classicist thinkers, whether lawyers or conflict resolution experts or even other people who are involved with the political and socioeconomic realities of region, always say this is not going to happen until the conflict peaks. And that is when both parties will willy-nilly be forced to sit down and dialogue, talk together and come with a solution. I would beg to differ a little bit. I've been involved with political negotiations. I've been into conflict resolution in the region. I know a little bit what the realities are. I think we all more or less know what the solution is for this problem. The question is not reinventing the wheel or rediscovering what we need to do in terms of a framework for the Israeli-Palestinian or larger Arab-Israeli conflict. What we need to do are to find the people who are willing to show the good faith in order to move toward this. Look at all the religious leaders in Jerusalem, the Christian religious leaders, and what they're saying. I don't need to speak for myself. I can only speak for them, be they the Catholics, the Orthodox, or the Reformed churches. They're all basically saying that for security, peace, and justice to happen, justice is very important. What does justice mean? Justice means, to a certain extent, giving dignity to both peoples, Palestinians and Israelis, by giving Palestinians back their land and by giving Israelis their security. If we can find the politicians who have the flair, who have the creativity, and who have the honesty to work in that direction, then with the help of the international community and, dare I say, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, since I'm talking as a Christian, I'm hoping that we can get there. We've been so close so many times, and then our human greed and our egoism have come in the way and have spoiled the solution.
I don't want this to be a belligerent final question, but you mentioned many global situations that look pretty desperate and a form of resolution, or at least moving towards peace, occurred. Is religion the problem in the Holy Land, our own included?
No, I don't think religion is the problem in the Holy Land, our own included. I think the sad thing is that we human beings make religion a problem. Religion in itself, per se, is not a problem. I cannot say that God and God's teachings, or in our case, Jesus' teachings, are a problem. But the way we interpret them to suit our own needs and our own purposes is what complicates everybody's lives, what makes life difficult and a solution so unattainable. So basically, until we manage to find the will to not interpret religion as it suits our purposes, but rather as it should be interpreted, then I think religion would play a very positive role in peacemaking. This is why I'm hoping that the Pope's visit will be nothing more and nothing less than empowering the Christian communities of the region, but also setting another marker for reconciliation so that people of goodwill and good faith would use it. The Pope didn't come to tailor a peace agreement. The Pope only came to pray for peace. Let us also pray with him, but let us work toward that peace in security and justice.